Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Talking Trading. I'm Caroline Stevens. Terrific to have your company. We have a busy show today with Dale Gillam from the Talking Wealth podcast, joining Louise Bedford and Chris Tate in a cafe conversation to discuss the art of trading and the behaviours necessary in a person to survive and ultimately thrive in the share market. We continue the theme of education with Louise's mind power as she urges everyone to not make decisions that are based on fear. We also have a Warren Buffett tip. But first up, let's take a look at the markets for the week ending the 8th of May with economist and Sky Business News commentator, Jonathan Barrett. Jono Barrett, hello and welcome to Talking Trading.
Good morning, Caroline.
Been a while since you've been on the show. Lovely to have you back.
No, thanks. It's a pleasure and thanks for inviting me.
How did the US markets close last week?
Look, we had a very, very solid Friday close. The Dow's up 267 or 1.49%. And that was on the back of some unemployment data. US employment dropped to 5.4%. And we had quite a large, on the non-farm payrolls, a large gain of about 223,000. So that really solidified people's views that the US economy is coming out of its malaise and onwards and upwards. And I think a lot of people are feeling that we're getting very close to break out to the top side. I'm still a little bit reserved, but you've got to flow with the market.
And the Australian market, how did that close on Friday?
Not too bad. I mean, when you look at it, the Aussie market has been under quite a lot of pressure. And that's obviously because, I think we've got obviously the budget coming up Tuesday. People just a little bit unsure as to what's happening there. In my mind, it's perhaps a little bit wrong. The market closed 5,650. On the week, it was pretty much on the lows for the week. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how it reacts to Friday night's trading in the US as to whether or not sort of we have a bit of a bounce from these levels. You have to also think that there's a lot of divergence between our market and the States. People are moving away from us as an investment and obviously moving towards the States, which has the runs on the board so far.
Very quickly, how did the markets in Asia and Europe look?
Once again, Europe remains slow, but I've been noticing that when Asia seems to be just following track in the US. It was interesting last week, I saw the local market down and the Asian markets up. So that was very peculiar to Australia. So when you look at more of the global sector, I think you'll find that Europe, still clouds over there concerning Greece, still uncertainty there. Asia in itself, I think, is slowly starting to bubble along. Let's see what the PBOC does today on interest rates. And if we get a little bit of a cut there, the market's going to look for some more stimulus. And if that's the case, those Asian markets should pick up.
Okay, patterns jumping out of the charts.
I guess when you look at it really, it's particularly on the commodities, they're tracking sideways. I think, and we're waiting for, more movements, in terms of breaking outwards. But I do like and continue to like what crude's done and also what iron ore has done. Both markets have had very sizable bounces off their lows. That suggests to me that there is a low in place. And I think that we'll get some profit taking in both those commodities soon. But at the end of the day, that'll be a buy on dip for the long term, which vis-a-vis would look at some of those mine in the mining sector. It's been out of favour for such a long time. And I think when you look at it, a lot of those, particularly those iron ore producers, if the price stays at this level, they'll represent good buying.
Any further opportunities you're looking at this week, Jono?
Look, I guess not a lot at the moment. I'm just still focused on oil and gold and iron ore. I really want to see what's happening, but I'm more focused on the budget to see how the international people are going to view the machinations of the Treasurer.
Who looks like you a little bit? Reminds me of you.
The Treasurer?
Yes.
I think, thank you, Caroline. I'll take that on board as to whether or not I wish to comment further. I don't think I will.
Just a little bit.
No, but thank you. So let's see what the budget does. Let's see what it says, and we'll take it from there.
Jono Barrett, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Caroline. Have a great day.
The event of the year has arrived. Wealth Retreat is the ultimate educational masterminding and networking conference for share traders, real estate investors, and entrepreneurs. Come and immerse yourself with the best masterminds, the movers and shakers, and business leaders in Australia. Hear the most advanced strategies to create your blueprint of wealth and create an instant peer group of like-minded investors. Wealth Retreat is from May 30th to June 3 on the Gold Coast. Come and build a lifetime of wealth and create an ongoing legacy. To find out more, go to wealthretreat.com.au. That's wealthretreat.com.au. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
There are lots of ways for a trader to be a coward. They can procrastinate about taking a trade. They can bury their paper loss under the bed and make it a long-term investment. They can neglect to tell their spouse about a drawdown. And at the core of all of these cowardly actions is fear. Whether it's fear of someone else's opinion, fear of making a financial screw-up, or fear of damaging your own self-esteem, the emotion of fear can stop you in your tracks. Be alert. Be on your guard. Anytime you find yourself making a trading decision based on fear, you'll find the decision will backfire on you in some way. It might not backfire immediately, but it will backfire. I know that it seems that everyone wants a piece of you and there's not much left for you. Sometimes it can feel that everyone else's needs are more important than yours are and that you're being pulled in 20 different directions. I know what it feels like to realize that everyone is dependent on you. But you've got to ask yourself, if you can't find the time today to learn about the share market, when will you? If not today, then when?
And now a Warren Buffett tip. If there was ever an argument for capital preservation, all we need to do is to listen to the two golden rules Warren Buffett uses to make money. Rule number one, don't lose money. Rule number two, see rule one. Dale Gillam is the creator of Wealth Within Education and the podcast Talking Wealth. He is a regular contributor to major Australian newspapers and television. Louise Bedford and Chris Tate join him over a cup of coffee to discuss the art form of trading and the behaviours necessary to make profits in the markets.
Louise Bedford here with Cafe Conversations for Talking Trading. I'm sitting here today with Chris Tate and Dale Gillam. Now, Dale, you've been in the industry for how long now?
Is that a rude question?
My gosh, I think it might be. Wow.
I think I've been one way or another around nearly 20 years now.
Yes, well, same with us, actually, funnily enough.
Yeah, Dale and I think we're around when they used to write prices in chalk on a bit of blackboard.
Well, I always tell my students that when I first started trading, I actually didn't have a computer. And I used to ring my broker up to get the prices, the open, high, low, and close prices on a daily basis, and he'd fax it to me on that fax paper that rolls up and fades after 3 days. Oh. And then I'd have to break all the daily data into weekly and monthly data, and then I'd hand chart it. That's and I'd say, how easy have you got it today?
Yeah. Far too easy.
So suck it up, princess.
Suck it up.
Well, they complain about the fact that the data won't download itself automatically for
correct.
Them. I have to push a button.
Now, one of the interesting
and
parts...
And I'm not that old, am I?
No, you're quite a young buck.
We're both very well preserved for our age.
Yeah, that's the alcohol.
One of the things I find fascinating about your background, Dale, is that you founded the podcast Talking Wealth, which
yes.
I'm sure our Talking Trader listeners would be interested in. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth, I launched quite a few years ago, more to just... I find that 80% of people that want to trade really don't necessarily start down the path because they don't know what's possible or they don't know what they don't know. So to me, Talking Wealth was about a way that they could listen to experienced traders. So that's myself and a couple of my analysts who we mentor traders all the time. It's just us chatting about things and getting our opinions out there because I find that the industry and what you read in papers is often not the real truth. Yes. It's misleading, and a lot of it comes from industry trying to push an industry barrier, not from a mum and dad point of view. So what does it actually mean to mum and dad? And that's what we might find issues, and we'll discuss them from the point of view of what can mum and dad do about it and what does it mean to them. And we get lots of great feedback.
Oh, yeah. So if our listeners would like to subscribe to Talking Wealth, what would they do, Dale?
They can just Google Talking Wealth, and it'll come up, Wealth Within, it'll come up with Dale, and you just subscribe on iTunes.
Oh,
but there's 400, nearly 500 podcasts there.
Whoa, there we
That'll
go.
That'll keep you busy for 37 years.
It will.
You'll be as old as Chris himself.
Now, one of the things that I think was interesting about our lunch today, Dale, is you were mentioning that because we've all appeared in the media and we've had quite a public profile, you were mentioning that some real traders probably wouldn't watch things like one of the programs, perhaps that we won't mention the name of, because otherwise we'll have a liability issue, because really we don't need that type of input. What makes a podcast different from that type of beginner TV program where people say, should I buy BHP?
To me, it's always been about, even, I mean, as on that TV show for 5 years and other TV programs that I've presented on, it's, to me, it's never about what you're going to buy today. It's always about a process. It's what's your process, what's your plan, and what's your strategy. So don't buy unless you know how to sell. So it could be BHP or it could be Rio, it could be anything. Whereas often people just want to be told what to buy and sell. And I just did a podcast only last week on Gann's 45 Years of Wall Street, his book, just on a section of it. And page 4 from memory talks about stock tipping newsletters. And there's plenty of those around. And people, I often say to people, why would you be following somebody else's tip? You should know yourself.
Yeah, we say that too.
Yeah. And we used to run one of those years and years ago, and I found that most people, we had at one stage we had a 92% success rate on buy win-loss ratio, and we still had people telling me they were losing money, which I found very hard to believe. But Gann actually says you can't follow another man's philosophies because, firstly, you won't trust it and you won't believe in it and you'll second guess it. So, and it was quite a powerful little statement. I actually read from his book. But to me, Talking Wealth is about empowering people with knowledge from an experience based, because you don't know what you don't know.
And this is exactly where talking trading comes into the vernacular as well. So if you could offer traders one piece of advice, Dale, what would that piece of advice be?
Oh, it's always get an education. And it's really hard to say that with humility, because people go, well, you teach people, and so do you guys. But it's your education is going to cost you one way or another. And go to somebody who is actually passionate about helping you. And I've often said that there are companies out there that are really good at what they do and really bad at marketing, and other companies that are really good at marketing and really bad at what they do. So if you see someone is marketing really heavily, they're the ones to stay away from. With trading, it's about being in the market long enough to get the experience to be profitable, not just trying to make money today.
That's it, and having the support as you go along. Our traders, certainly from the mentor program, that's one real point of difference. I think the support as you're learning and as things pop up, I think that's a real key.
Oh, look, it is. It's often said to people, how do you ask a question from somebody, from the person who's written the book? And you can't. And how do you know that you've understood what's in the book correctly? And that's why you guys do mentoring, and so do we. And I start mentoring our students from a certain period of way through our course, because I need some information and knowledge into them. But there's all those fears about, am I doing it the right way? And unless you've got somebody who knows what they're doing, is checking what you're doing, you don't know you're doing it right. And that's where is just, I always say, if you're sitting at a weekend workshop, you're a passive person. You're not active. And to be a very good trader, you've got to develop skill. And we talk about the art of trading. Having art presupposes there's a certain level of skill. The only way to develop skill is to actually do it and build that skill over time. And then once you've built the skill, that allows you to bend the rules in the art form to become the artist or the trader. And I find a lot of people don't stick around the market to get the experience to get to that art form.
That's beautiful. I completely agree. What do you think, Chris?
He's still thinking about it.
That's such a profound answer.
It was.
But that comes back to, that's the thing. If markets offer us a terrible paradox in that you have to survive long enough to be profitable. The more profitable you are, the longer you survive. And that's a terrible paradox that people can't get over that hump. But in part, I think it comes back to this notion that people, because of the way we are, they grossly overestimate what they'll achieve in the short term but underestimate what they can do in the long term.
Correct.
Because they can't foresee the future. They can foresee it next week, but they can't foresee themselves 5 years down the track what they might be.
Correct.
And so that in part, I think, is part of their struggle. And it comes back to, because we were chatting about NLP and about modelling, it's about finding a way to inoculate the appropriate behaviours into people. And that's the issue, is trading's not a functional endeavour, it's a behavioural endeavour.
Absolutely.
And if you can get the right behaviours into people, they survive. If they survive, they make money. If they make money, they survive longer. And they eventually enter into that feedback cycle where they actually become successful, eventually. But that's the important word, eventually.
Eventually. Oh, look, I totally agree. I know when I'm actually chatting to people who are looking at taking on our services, and I say, the variable's not us, the variable is you. Because you guys have taught successful traders. I've taught lots of successful traders as well. And how we teach is the same in terms of where we're consistent in how we teach. So the person getting that education is the variable, and how they approach their education. And we see when their first emails to us whether they're going to be successful or not. And you have to be teachable.
Yes. But don't you find it intriguing? I was reading a thing the other day, and I think it was from Warren Buffett, where he said, if you've got an IQ of 160, you should sell 30 points to somebody else because you won't need them for trading.
Correct.
And I don't know whether that's been your experience, but we've had some phenomenally intelligent people come through our courses. And they are rubbish because they simply can't. It's almost like they can't tone down and accept the simplicity of trading, that it must be complex to them because their view of the world is complex.
Correct.
So everything must be complex. And throttling them back is very, very difficult because they want. It's simply their default setting.
It is, correct.
And we've had PhD mathematicians come through the course, and they quite frankly are crap at trading. But we've had
engineers, I'd put to that as well.
It's engineers and their linear thinking are difficult to deal with. But we've had single mothers come through who have a high school education, and they absolutely kill it. And
it's a great equal opportunity employer.
It's the perfect equal opportunity employer. And it comes back to what you said. It's a single variable equation, the variable being the individual.
I've loved catching up with you, Dale. I'm sure that we will have many other times on Talking Trading as well as on Talking Wealth.
And that's all we have for you today, guys. Stay tuned next week to hear more of Dale Gillam on his advice to young share traders in the markets. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team here, thanks for your company. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation or needs. Before acting on any of the information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.